Well, we're joining with Clinton. Welcome everybody out. I invite you to get your Bibles and open to Mark chapter 13. We'll be the beginning of our study here. I want to look at a few passages because there's a concept that we want to develop here in our study. In Mark, the 13th chapter there, Mark chapter 13, in verse 32 through to the end of the chapter. It says, "But of that day, and of that hour, knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed and watch and pray, for you know not when the time is, when the time is. But the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants unto every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And we're going to emphasize that word watch and the exhortation that we're to be watching, and so many verses that exhort us to that end. Notice there in Luke the 12th chapter. In Luke chapter 12 there in verse 37 and following. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if you come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." And so, again, the emphasis of watching. And then notice there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, "Watch ye." Very simple exhortation. "Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye or behave ye like men. Be strong." Be watchful, Paul exhorts. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 there, notice there in verse 6, it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And so what we see that's common in all these verses is the exhortation to watch. And when we look at this word watch, it means to be sleepless. Keep awake. Watch. To be on guard, not to fall asleep and to doze off. You can't be watching anything and be on guard for anything when you're off asleep. So spiritually, he's saying that we need to be sleepless, that is, be vigilant, watching, and being awake so we can be on guard. And then why should we watch? Well, the devil will try to come and tempt us, just as Jesus was tempted there in Matthew the 4th chapter, in those first 11 verses. And there, Gethsemane, what did he tell the disciples? That they needed to watch and pray. And then there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you, and our labor be in vain." And so, we need to be on watch. We need to be on guard and to be awake spiritually and looking and keeping awake. And so, what we want to do is to talk about some areas that we need to watch. Alright, watch. Well, may I suggest that we need to watch our words. Notice several verses in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." That's a good practical verse. In Proverbs 16 and down in verse 24, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." I don't know about you, but I like honey. I enjoy it. A lot of times put honey on my cereal for breakfast. It's good. It's good for you. It's nutritious. And even, in fact, much sweeter than just plain sugar. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, down in verse 11. In Proverbs, chapter 26, and verse 11. Sure, maybe it's, "As a dog returns to vomit, so a fool returns to his folly." That's not the right verse. I wrote down the wrong verse. Anyway, there's one there. I'll have to look that up. I thought I jotted down the wrong one, and so there I am. I'm lost on that one. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 there and verse 29. Paul talks about our word. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so our word can minister grace, it can edify, it can build up. Or our words can tear down and hurt and maim and cause problems and pain. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, he talks about neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient but rather given of things. And this foolish, moronic talk that he's speaking about, this jesting, he's not talking about just joking around in a clean fashion, but the off-color jokes. Bad use, not watching and guarding the tongue in a good way, in a constructive way. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 there, in Colossians chapter 3 it says, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. That's dirty talk, dirty language. Put all that off. Lie not one to another. There's another sin of the tongue. Get rid of that. Seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. And he goes on to talk about putting on the new man. And then there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 16 through 18. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And the word weed is not the canker. The marginal says, as gangrene. Boy, if you get gangrene, you're in big trouble. Usually amputation of a limb that has gangrene is really the only solution. And if you let it go, it will create death. And so he talks about how the word we eat is a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And so all these verses, they exhort us to be watchful of our words. Watch our words. May I suggest also that we need to watch our actions. We need to watch our actions. The Lord will weigh and judge us based upon our actions. Notice there in the book of 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 3, it says, Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The Lord weighs actions, not what we profess. It would be easy to talk the talk and to profess, and say, oh yeah, we know God, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah, I serve God. You know, don't judge what we profess or what we merely say or the talk. We will be judged by our actions. And that's what Paul points out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 there, in 2 Corinthians 5 and number 10. For it must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Based upon what we've done, not what we said, not what we may claim, not what we professed, but in actuality, what we have done, Paul tells us. It'll be based upon our works, our actions, what we have in actuality done. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so all the good works, God's expecting us to live and follow those good works. In the book of Titus there, in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14, Paul says, who gave Himself for us, that is speaking of Jesus, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Would that mark us? Zealous of good works? Our actions? Oh, we talk about, oh yeah, you know, I want to be faithful to the Lord, you know, I want to serve God. But what about what their actions speak? Well, what's the old saying? Actions speak louder than words. A lot of truth involved in that. Notice on in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to have a good works. As Titus, who has exhorted the brethren, he exhorts us also. Be zealous of good works. Be ready for good works. Notice verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So we be zealous, that we be ready, and that we maintain good works. That is our action, what in truth we are. And so we need to watch. We need to watch our words. We need to watch our actions. We need to watch our thoughts. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10 there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And either not fleshly, it's not that we got pistols and we've got knives and we've got grenades. No, our weapons are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We need to work on our thinking. What we meditate, what we dwell about, what's in our heart, what we are thinking about, what we dream about. Watching our thoughts. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, in Philippians 4, and verse 8, Paul says it this way, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are good, of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," what does he say? Think on these things. Our thinking, our thoughts, doesn't be one good thing. We let our mind dwell on bad things, next thing you know, we're kind of migrating over there and practicing and dabbling in bad things. Watch our thinking. In the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Matthew chapter 23 here, in Jesus' reproof of the scribes and Pharisees, in verse 25, he says, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." See, on the outside look fine, on the outside look clean. Inside, the thinking part, it's all full of extortion and excess. "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are likened to the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness." All the graves here are under the ground. In some of the graveyards, they have the kind of like a mausoleum type of thing. And, you know, they're all fixed up on the outside. And traveling some of the places overseas, they have sort of like a, kind of like the concrete vault they put under the ground, they have those vaults setting on top of the ground. And then they put the body in there, and it's covered over, and it's just encased in concrete. And sometimes they go and they paint them and whitewash them and make them clean and look nice on the outside and fancy lettering with the name and dates and all that. And she said, "That's the way you folks are. You look nice on the outside, but on the inside, just like that sepulcher, on the inside, it's rotten on the inside. The thinking pattern is just—it's horrible. It's horrendous. It's bad." And so we are exhorted to watch. One area to watch is to watch our words. Another area to watch is our actions. Another area to watch is our thoughts. And another area that we'll be well to take heed to is to watch our company, who we run around with. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. In Proverbs, chapter 22 there, in verse 24 and 25, it says, "Man's going are of the Lord." Oh, I'm sorry. I was on the right side, right up here in this top right corner, but I was on the wrong page there. In Matthew chapter 22 there, in verse 24 and 25, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Now, why? Well, what's the reason? Well, it is the reason, verse 25. "Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You run around with somebody that's just furious and full of anger and animosity and this hatred. It just boils over. Somebody that has that in their heart, it's inevitably going to come out. It comes out in their actions and the attitudes and innuendo and words that are said. And the wise man said, you be careful with people like that. You get running around with them and just their bitter disposition and they're just mad. They're mad at the world. Maybe they're mad at their brother. Maybe they're mad at our country. They're mad at everybody at work. They're just mad and sour on everything. Well, he says, you be careful. You run around with people like that. And he said, you begin thinking like that. And you think how sorry and low down people are and how you've been treated. Next thing you know, you're full of anger and you've got a snare for your soul. In Proverbs chapter 13 there, look in verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You sort of walk with wise people, it kind of rubs off on you in a good way. And just the opposite is true also. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. And of course, the famous words of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, be not deceived. Don't be fooled, don't be tricked, don't be misled in any way. Evil communication, or other translation says, evil companionship corrupts good manners or good morals. So, what do we learn from these types of verses? Well, we better be careful and watch our company. You run with people that have bad attitudes and do bad things, next thing you know, it may be rubbing off on us in a bad way. And of course, the opposite is true. Well, we run with good people and wise people. Well, their good attitudes and their wisdom and insight can rub off on us in a good way. And so the Scripture says, you watch. And that is to be guard and stay awake. So we need to watch our words as we're exhorted. Not need to watch our actions and watch our thoughts and watch our company. And may we suggest also to watch our heart. In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, Proverbs chapter 4, notice there in verse 23. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Well, what's the reason? For out of it are the issues of life. Keeping the heart with all diligence. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is, in the sense, in a positive, good way. In one sense, we're all going to see God, good or bad. Whether you hate the Lord or an atheist and agnostic, in the day of judgment, we'll see God because we're going to stand before Him in the day of judgment. But in the sense of Matthew 5, verse 8, there when He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is, see God in a good light, in a positive light, and His favor. And so we must watch our hearts. To think and to check in, well, what's my goal? In my heart, what do I cherish? In my heart, what do I hold valuable? As Jesus talks about there. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, there in Matthew 6 and verse 23. And so what's my attitudes and disposition? And do I have a kindly heart, an honest heart, a good heart, that I really want to do what's right? And when we look and to think about our heart of what we are and what we're trying to be on the inside, that's fundamental, foundational, as you open the Word of the Lord. And then let's notice one final exhortation in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, in verses 2 and 3. When the Lord addresses the church at Sardis, He says, be watchful. Well, that's our topic tonight, watchful. Watching our words, watching our actions, watching our thoughts, watching our company, watching our heart. Be watchful, He exhorts them, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And if, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. Well, the warning is, if we're not watching, the Lord will come upon us. He'll come as a thief, that is, unexpectedly.
And so we are exhorted. We better watch. And a warning if we don't watch.
So it's imperative that we be watchful spiritually, to stay awake. To be sleepless, that is, that we are awake, not snoozing and snoring spiritually, and let Satan lullaby us to sleep in wrongdoing. And so many exhortations in the scriptures about watching all the various areas that we need to be watching. We extend the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ with the question, are you watching and are you waiting for the return of the Lord? He's coming. Just don't know exactly when. Could be near, could be a little ways off. But are you watching? There are several steps in the plan of salvation. Five steps. We need to hear the word. Just like Paul heard the word. Just like the people of the day of Pentecost. They all heard the word of the Lord. You men of Israel, hear these words. And we've got to hear the word of the Lord. And when we hear that message, will we believe in that word? Will we believe in Jesus Christ? Paul had to believe. And all the other people in the first century had to believe the message. And then we've got to repent and turn to God. Acts 17 and verse 30. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Well, I think that takes us in right here. Here in Lancaster County, right here in this place at this time, we're inclusive in that statement. And then we must confess Jesus as the Christ. There in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 37, when the eunuch said, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we must be baptized, Acts 22, verse 16, and now, why tarriest thou, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And that's when we will become a Christian, and we come up out of that watery grave, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And if we as a Christian, Acts 8, when Simon fell into sin and transgression, he was told to repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Acts 8 and verse 22. The question is, are you watching spiritually? Where you're at? And how you stand before God? Are you watching and waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Could be any day. The only thing we can do is just be ready for it. And we can be ready for it by watching and being prepared by being a servant, a child of the living God. If there's some way we can help or assist, let us know what we can do. Why together as we stand and as we sing.